Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Wanted to ask you about the defense. Have you considered at all the possibility of maybe taking over play calling for that unit?
No. We're trying to improve in every area, and defensively, I think there's some things we're doing well and some things that we have to improve on. But that has not crossed my mind at this point.
In saying that, obviously, that would be, a vote of confidence in some ways for the job that Bobby is doing. How do you evaluate that 6 games in right now?
Yeah, listen, I have a lot of confidence in Bobby and our defensive staff. I thought they made some real good adjustments last night in the second half in particular. At halftime, we came out and played really well after half. But overall, again, within our building, I'm confident in the people in our building, whether it's this situation or other situations, that we can get the job done.
Just wanted to check in. I know there were quite a few injuries last night on top of guys dealing with stuff before the game. Just how did everyone come out from last night's game?
Yeah, so what I have for you is DQ, Daquan Jones, will be week to week with that calf that I mentioned to you after the game. Joshua Palmer, week to week as well. We're dealing with what he incurred last night in the early second quarter, and then Milano, Dalton Kincaid, Curtis Samuel, Terrell Bernard, all day to day, and dealing with what they're dealing with, and then Max Harrison. We'll see how things look going forward. Right now, he continues to head in the right direction, and there's a chance that we'll open up his practice window in the coming week here.
How do you deal with this bye week and knowing that you've got some reinforcements on the way, especially on the defensive side with Larry and Michael, and also knowing that some of these injured guys are day to day and could be back in time for are expected back in time for Carolina?
Yeah, it'll be good to get these two guys back in the mix with the injuries that we have in particular. And we'll see how it all unfolds, right? Who's available, who's not. We won't really know again until, we get back going a little bit next week here with the guys. But it certainly will help in terms of numbers and guys who have played.
Given what you've seen given what you'll see, what are your expectations with Larry and Michael specifically in coming back, knowing that they haven't had playing time, but how do you treat those two guys coming back?
No, it's a little bit of an interesting situation, somewhat unique when you practice in training camp and you go on this hiatus, if you will, and then you come back and practice again. And it's natural to expect that there's going to be some knocking off of the rust. And so we have to manage our expectations with that.
And just lastly on the offense, and I know this was kind of, you were asked this last night. When it comes to James Cook's availability and the fact that he wasn't on the field for much of the fourth quarter in key situations, how do you address Joe address that And is it a concern that, you know, you didn't have some, given how depleted you were on in some places on offense, how much of a concern is it that one of your best threats wasn't on the field?
Yes, those are things we talk about. You know, and Joe and I have already talked about that to some extent today as we were evaluating the film. So it's an important thing that we keep in mind as we move forward.
After watching tape, what's your assessment overall?
Well, I'm confident in the people we have in this building, number one. Two is, you know, we can certainly perform at a higher level, and we need to. We need to do our jobs, know our jobs, and be there for one another. And so that accountability piece is important for us as we move forward, and it's always been one of the fabrics of who we are as a team.
Looking at the film, did you ever consider about trying an odd front at any time?
An odd front?
Yeah.
What do you have in mind right there, Mookie? What would you think that would have helped with?
I think I'm just seeing like they was doubling down on the one tech there. And, you know, Deion sometimes, instead of, like you mentioned yesterday, having that gap integrity, he was running out of there and it was creating a big cutback lane, you know. Yeah. So I was thinking maybe you go to an odd and keep that center occupied at times sometimes.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. You know, we talk about a lot of things during the week and then during the game in terms of adjustments. But, you know, Deion made some good plays as well. He's a young player. He's going to have some growing pains. And unfortunately, a couple of those moments were big plays for them. So we entertained just about everything under the stars, as you could imagine.
You'd mentioned your confidence in Bobby a few minutes ago. And obviously, he's still, you know, in his second year as the play caller. But when you have that performance in the first half, like the defense had, obviously they made some great, you made some great adjustments. What goes into those conversations with Bobby for maybe getting the defense, I don't know, better prepared, more ready to play?
Well, that's a fair question. You know, just overall, it's making sure we're emphasizing what we need to emphasize, but not trying to emphasize everything, but being specific on what we need to emphasize week to week based on the game plan or the opponent, and then making sure that we are executing our fundamentals. So it just, you know, some of it is a little bit big, you know, is big picture, and some of it's more of the details, and just based on my experience of being in that position for a number of years. So again, I really appreciate the way that they adjusted, Bobby, led by Bobby in the second half, but we got to get off to a better start. We can't, you know, get down 21 points, not down 21 nothing, but at the same time give up 21 points in a quarter and change, and it's just not a great formula to start a game with.
And then with Joe, I mean, you talked about, I think we talked about it a little bit last time I got into the presser late, but you know, you mentioned last week about maybe being a little bit too cute at times with the play calling, not specifically to Joe, but just in how you approach the game. That third and two play, when you went back and looked at it, where it was the end around to Elijah Moore, do you feel like that kind of falls into that category? And is that something that, you know, you've also addressed with Joe?
Well, it is, number one, in terms of what I've addressed with Joe. And two is, you know, like I mentioned, I feel, you know, we're better than that, and we need to handle that better next time.
You know, we've asked you about Deion Walker so much, but with Daquan, you know, possibly missing some time here, how do you feel about, you know, the guys that you have behind Ed at D tackle, even the ones who have been called upon from the practice squad and what they can give you there?
Well, yeah, I mean, last night, you know, we went into it. We went in with four, right, with Ed being up. Ed hadn't been up in a number of weeks. We had Deion up. We had Jordan Phillips up. Jordan, you know, coming off the practice squad and whatnot. And, you know, being here, you know, a few weeks, but also missing a week due to a family matter. And then, you know, DQ goes down in pregame warmup, probably our most grooved or consistent defensive lineman to this point in the season. So that hurt us, but it's not an excuse. You know, we got to, you know, step in, and we have full confidence in the guys that, went in there, that we only were able to rotate three of them for the most part. But I think all three of them had some good moments, and all three have some moments that they can grow from. And, you know, I remain confident in them, just like I do Joe on the question earlier. I mean, I'm very, very confident in Joe Brady and his ability to move us forward as an offense here.
You were asked about Jordan Poyer last night. I'm curious, just based on the reps that you've seen, what he's shown you in practice, is there a chance he could, you know, earn a role on your, a regular role on your defense at safety?
Well, we'll see. Again, when you go into a bye week in particular, you have a little bit more time on your hands to really hunker down and study things, study scheme, study all the hot spots, if you will. And that's what I've asked the coordinators to do, is let's identify the problems and then let's get together on it and figure out the solutions and the best way forward. So in this case, it's, you know, evaluating personnel and making sure that we've got the right people in the right places and that can get the job done here for us.
My last one for you. You mentioned that you wanted things to be a little easier for Josh last night in terms of some of the options, especially when they were running man coverage. What does that look like for you? And not to ask you to reveal a complete strategy, but I'm just curious what you would like to see so your quarterback isn't under, you know, duress at times like he was, especially when they were blitzing as often as they were.
No, I mean, you know, they're a talented group. I mean, you saw it. They have ways to get after the quarterback, and you know, we've got to do a good job of making sure that our quarterback doesn't get affected. And I thought our offensive line did a pretty good job at that at times. And you know, we used some play action and things to protect the pocket. And there was other times where I thought we, you know, could have done some things going forward where we need to make an adjustment so that you know, Josh is not affected, especially early in the game. And because that can kind of, you know, affect the game and how the game's played and how the quarterback plays. And listen, it's no different than what we try and do to opposing quarterbacks. You know, you want to affect the quarterback early, and it tends to have a ripple effect later in the game. So that's you know, something that we have to continue to look at.
You know, Lance asked about the safety position. I was going to actually also ask about the corner position. How would you just evaluate that position as a whole? I know you guys are pretty banged up there right now, but specifically with Tre'Davious White and then Christian Benford.
Yeah, so CB, you know, went down for a little bit last night, and then J Mark and Trey were out there, and you know, I thought all three of them had some good moments, and then some things that they want back, you know. So you know, we've got to continue to move our team in the right direction, and you know, their play is going to be pivotal for us as we move forward here. So I remain confident in those three guys.
You know, I'm sure the outcome, obviously, of these last two games is not what you guys have wanted, but it's also not necessarily unique to this season. You guys have hit these lulls in the past over time, and you have been able to bounce back. What have you been able to do over the years that has led to you guys getting out of these lulls that you sometimes find yourself in? Kind of, it's almost always like right around this time of year, too. Even if you look at the last couple of years, it seems to be early on or like a little bit into the season, and then you guys are able to go on a run coming out of it.
No, you're right. You know, having said that, I think one of the things that we talked about, as a team is sticking together. That's where it starts, you know, and in order to make adjustments and move in the right direction, everyone's got to be in it together. So that's really where it starts. And that connection has got to be intact. And then from there, you can, you know, look to move forward. It's not going to be easy, you know, but we all have a job to do, and we all have to be accountable to one another. And you know, work so hard that we're not going to let each other down. And that's really been the recipe for us in the past. And, you know, who knows this year, but we're going to work our tails off to get it done. And I'm very confident the people in this building that we can get it done. It's just going to happen one day at a time at this point.
And then last one for me, as you mentioned, the possibility that you open up the practice window for Max to return. I understand that you obviously would have 3 weeks to figure things out, but when we look back to what happened with Cole last year and the similarities of, you know, how it was hard to get him acclimated, how do you feel like this goes? Do you feel like he could come back and play as like a rotational piece and try and get snaps? Do you feel like you would want him to get more reps so he would be ready later in the year? It's just it's a really interesting kind of dilemma that you guys find yourselves in.
No, it is. It is. But we find ourselves in it, right? So we got to find our way out of it too. And I think the biggest thing, honestly, for Max is, you know, managing expectations. When you miss all of that time in training camp, mentally, physically, you know, the playbook and then the physical part and the build up, the ramp up of training camp and preseason games and then the start of the season. So just trying to be realistic with it, manage expectations on hey, let's just go out there and take it one day at a time. When we do open up the window, and it's not going to be perfect, and he's got to understand that, and we have to understand that. So it's just like I said, one day at a time at this point.
I was actually going to follow up on Max, but I guess to maybe expand to the entire rookie class, how do you feel that group is dealing with the managing expectations, like you mentioned?
Well, I mean, if you want to go through it, we've got, you know, Max, I'm just going down the order, TJ, both been hurt. Take me through, Catherine, who you have questions about, I guess. You can go right down the draft order if you want.
I mean, even just like how Landon's navigating, what his play time has been, what you've seen from Jackson, just what is it like evaluating this group so early when they've been so banged up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the challenge is, you know, some of these guys have been unhealthy and not able to play. And, you know, Max, and then Dorian's out, you know, and then TJ. And so, you know, Landon, you asked about Landon, you know, he didn't play early. Now he's been playing. So that experience is good for him. And I think he's gotten a little bit better each game. But with a lot of work to do, like all of us, right? So it's a journey for all of these guys, and it's never easy, right? People think it's the NFL, this is going to be fun and everything, and it is. It should be fun, but at the same time, it's a job, and the way the league ebbs and flows week to week is hard for a lot of these guys, and but mentally, they got to stay tough and stay strong through it.
I want to follow up on what Matt said, asked about before with Joe Brady. In terms of the third down play, when you say we're better than that, can you explain a little more what you mean by that?
Well, just, I mean, Joe's a great offensive coordinator. He's a great play caller, right? He knows, and no one's going to be perfect, right? But you go through a game and there's always calls you want back. And, he knows that how I feel about that situation. We talked about it, had a great conversation again this morning. And you know, those are ones in the heat of the moment that you're like, ah, I want that one back. And, you know, listen, at the end of the day, whatever play we call, we got to execute at a higher level as well. So, that's a piece of it, but, I remain confident, very confident in Joe and his ability to put us into the right situations and put our players in good positions on offense.
I know you don't expect, you know, any play caller to be perfect, but when you talk about how to address a big situation like that, is there a philosophy that takes a level of development or a period of time to develop to where you and the guys who are working with you are on the same page?
In terms of my leadership or?
In terms of the philosophy, how you want those situations approached from a play calling point of view?
Well, we've discussed them before and then we had to revisit them. We revisited them this morning again. And I wanted them to know that, as an offensive staff, we talked about it collectively, and sometimes it's just Joe and I, sometimes it's, we meet as a full staff there offensively. And so it's, just making sure that we're clear on philosophically what we believe in and how we want to get it done.
And then one more for me with Bobby, how difficult is the balance between a guy who you have mentored in a lot of ways for a long time, who's still certainly in the early part of his career as a coordinator, between the hard and fair choices that you have to make for the good of this team this season?
In terms of
how you evaluate Bobby, a guy that you've worked with and obviously, like I said, mentored for a long time, between you've got that on one side and the other side, you have the, we are trying to win games this season. I need to do what's best for the guys, this team this year.
Well, ultimately that's my responsibility to this team and this organization is to make decisions like that. And at the end of the day, you know, I have to put the team first. That's my job, and that's what I owe to this community as well. And so, you know, again, Bobby's young in this position. He's working. He works extremely hard. He's gifted, and play calling is one of the harder things to do in this business. And you know, so he'll learn from it, and some things he wants back. But again, I thought the adjustments yesterday in the second half were really really good for us.
The last couple of weeks, maybe less so in the second half yesterday, but last couple of weeks you've had some situations where there's been some free runners in zone coverage. Is that a communication deal? Is that an assignment deal? Obviously, not everything is the same, but there's been a number of those situations the last couple of weeks.
Well, this past week, so last night's game, we had one where there was a miscommunication in the game. Some guys were playing one coverage and the other side of the defense was playing another coverage. And, you know, Shaq hasn't been, it's not placing blame at all. It's more about like why we're looking at the root of why it happened and unfolded that way. And sometimes when you have a new player at the middle linebacker position, the communication is a little bit different than when TB is in there and whatnot. And so, you know, it had been a few weeks since Shaq had played the middle linebacker position, and then a few weeks even more since Dorian had been back playing the will linebacker position. So when TB went down, you know, there was a little bit of a ripple effect there. So I thought both those guys did some good things when they came in, but sometimes the communication is just a little bit different. And at that point, it wasn't collectively what we needed to have happen as an overall defense, as you saw.
Dorian obviously has made strides since his rookie year. He's been out, obviously. But, you know, how have you judged how he's progressed in coverage, whether it's, you know, filling in for Matt this year, or even last night coming off an injury?
Well, he was coming off an injury. You know, he'd been out, I don't know, two weeks maybe. And I thought he really handled himself well in terms of playing physical, playing strong, making it through the game. He was playing special teams on top of that. Initially, his role coming into the game was just going to be special teams for the most part. And so then he was forced into playing on defense there. And I thought he handled himself well. You know, like all of us, he wants some of those plays back. And you know, again, with experience, I think he's only going to get better.
And then just lastly, obviously, you've had six games of the new kickoff rules. Both your kick returns and your kickoffs, how would you assess them, you know, so far this season?
Yeah, I thought, you know, to this point in the season, in terms of our kickoff coverage, and we gave up, I think, one big one to, I think it was Baltimore and maybe another one to Miami. But after that, we've kind of settled in, and I really liked what I saw last night in the last kind of week or two of our coverage units. We're now starting to see some guys step in and make some plays and really start to understand their roles. I was sitting with Coach Tabor earlier today, and we were discussing just that what you asked about. So, and then the return game, I really like to see us, you know, last night, it's a game of one-on-ones, you know, and last night we weren't winning some of those one-on-ones in our blocks to try and free up Bicot there. So we really couldn't get them started. So I'll expect that we'll do a better job with that moving forward. And I know Coach Tabes and Coach West will study that this week.
Hey, Sean, just had one question for you. I know you talked about how obviously the bye week is a time to look at stuff closely, go back and all that kind of thing. But last night you mentioned how it's like maybe going back to ground zero and like starting over and that kind of thing. What specifically like are you looking at with this team going into the bye week, like hoping to accomplish with that?
You know, it's a great question, Elaine. I think the biggest thing is it's really where you have to start. You start every year at ground zero and work your way back up to where you currently are. And because you need to make sure that the foundation, there's nothing in the foundation that needs to be fixed. And, you know, with the way the last two games have gone, you know, we've had some good moments, but I also want to kind of look under the hood a little bit more and making sure that we've got everything underneath in terms of the foundation that it's helping us. And, you know, from the way we practice to the way we meet to what we emphasize to what we're asking our players to do to, you know, all the jobs that all of our players have and all that type of stuff. So it's, I mean, you know, right now just coming off of this game, we're just really putting this game to bed. And, you know, I already have a list of things that I wrote down heading into this past week that I wanted to make sure we were intentional about. So, and the coordinators would tell me, I texted them on the plane and said, hey, these are the things I want to know about and we need to meet on. So it's usually good conversation. We've got a great staff. Our staff works extremely hard and I'm looking forward to coming out of this with some good solutions. We turn over some dirt here and kind of till the soil a little bit. We'll find some.
Just one follow-up to that. You mentioned how, like, especially coming off these last two games, is that typical for how you approach a bye week, or do you feel like it's even more with like how these last two games have gone?
We'll be consistent. You know, that's how I am. I think that's the best way to approach things. And, you know, when you've been through it now a number of years, you kind of know where to look first. But yet every year is a little bit different too. It takes on its own personality. So, you know, we'll find those, those areas that are specific to this season and make sure we try and spend due time where we need to spend as well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.